This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Alexander Kazarian is joining us with Garagos and Garagos, and we're going to talk about Lori Vallow Daybell a little bit. Alexandra, as you probably know if you listen to the show on a regular basis, she believes, and I think she's right, that there is a way to plead insanity in Idaho. It's a very fine line. It's a tightrope you have to walk to plead something like this and for it to resonate with a jury, for them to come back with not guilty. They can't say by insanity, but for them to come back. Alexandra, there's been so many developments in this case in the last couple of days. What's been standing out to you?
I feel like I'm that emoji with their like looking through their fingers, like covering their face. Like I am mortified at the thought of anybody going through my iCloud account, looking at messages I was sending to people and reading them out loud to a jury.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally tell my children that, like, before you send any text message, imagine somebody reading it to a jury and then decide whether you want to send it or not. It's just so horrifying. So, I mean, I think my theme works because they in their conversations with each other, Lori and Chad, they're living outside of reality. They're not using each other's names. You know, when they're having these fantastical conversations and talking about this crazy love they have for each other, or at least desire they have for each other, you know, making up these names. It's like nothing is based in reality between these people.
Mm-hmm.
So as a defense attorney, I think that helps.
Yeah, I mean, but it kind of juggles around here a little bit more than I think we initially thought it would. They seem to jump from these fantastical characters, James and Elena, and Touch My, Thunder? Or they had a name for it that came out that was horrifying. The Storm. Yeah. The Storm is what it was. Yes, absolutely horrifying to be read out loud. But then they also go into some detail about, some of these obstacles that they're facing, and it's going to come to a head. And the kids are, you know, kind of in the way and things of that nature in a much more, I guess, gathered context, a more sane, if you will. There is some talking about eliminating people here and their plans beyond just, somebody in the sky told me to do it. So it does seem like we're going back and forth between little bits of reality here and the insanity.
Yeah, and I would call them not sane, but I would say like moments of like lucidity.
Lucidity,
these are like lucid moments. Yeah. Where somebody's not seemingly obviously on like a manic break.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have those moments that the prosecution is going to be able to argue, look, this is not crazy. This is based in reality. And the parts that are based in reality are the parts where they're talking about the obstacles, which they got rid of by killing. So I think it is problematic. I do. But I think that, again, you've got to argue that people are not just crazy and only crazy. They have moments of lucidity. And at that point, you don't know what she really thought she was talking about. I mean, that's all you can do is argue that, you know, crazy is crazy. And, and you wouldn't hire somebody that you know has, you know, these kinds of manic breaks to take care of your family. Because they're inconsistent, and you just don't know where their head is going to be at any moment in time. And if somebody is like that, you know, you reiterate to the jury, we don't treat them the same way as somebody that is making logical decisions to plan a killing. Somebody who has all of their wits about them all of the time and is making logical, rational decisions that benefit them for a financial gain, that is someone you treat differently than somebody who is in and out of lucidity and has these documented mental health breaks. Cause you just, you know, is there a reasonable chance that at the time that either a decision to kill or an actual killing was made, she was in one of these moments of, you know, mania or whatever it is. If there's a reasonable chance that happened, then you've got to vote not guilty.
With it not, but again, we've talked about this before, and you kind of got the loophole on this of saying it's not guilty, but the insanity plea is not an option in Idaho. So you go to the jury with this and you say everything you just said, you bring in doctors, you bring in experts to show, yeah, look at this behavior. This is not someone who's sane. You can they ask the jury to vote not guilty, but when there is no insanity plea, so what would they be voting on at that point if they can't choose guilty by the means and the reasons that you are just laying out right there?
So in order for a jury to vote guilty, you have to find every element of the crime true.
Okay.
So they have to go through the elements. Every crime has its own set of elements. And if every single element is not proven beyond a reasonable doubt, you can't vote guilty. So for a premeditated first degree murder, you've got to have the intent to kill a human being, this particular human being, in order to be guilty of forming a conspiracy to kill a human being, this particular human being, you have to be able to form the capacity to, you have to have the capacity to form the intent to kill. Mm-hmm. So you're going to rely on your doctors to attack that one element. Mm-hmm. You need a doctor to tell the jury, because of her mental state, it is my opinion that at the time of this incident, she did not have the ability to form the capacity to form the intent. She did not have the capacity to form the intent to kill her children or to agree to kill her children.
So basically it's saying, look, she probably was involved in all of these things, but she wasn't mentally there. It was not, she did not have the mental capacity to make these decisions rationally. This was not a rational, sane human being making these choices because she believed it was something else. And because of not having the capacity, that is why you have to vote not guilty. It's not by reason of insanity, though, or that seems to be the real sticky part with this whole thing.
Right, because in California, you front load, yes, I was involved in this, I was guilty of this, but the reason was because I had a mental defect. Okay. So there's two different aspects of it. And then if the jury agrees, you go to a treatment facility until the time that the people there decide you're no longer a threat to society, which may never happen, but it may. Here, I think actually what the legislature has done by getting rid of the not guilty by reason of insanity plea, I think they thought they were doing a good thing, but a lot of times these laws are not written by attorneys and defense attorneys are not consulted. Mm-hmm. And so I think they did themselves a disservice, because if the jury finds that she did not have the capacity to form the intent to kill, it's a straight not guilty and she walks away. There is no room for insanity in contemplating somebody, you know, there's no room for rehabilitation. They eliminated it. And so when they eliminated, they thought they could eliminate the argument, but really they just eliminated the treatment.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Alexander Kazarian, as always, thank you so much for your insights. Always very, very much appreciated. We'll talk more Valo tomorrow with her on the podcast around this same time. So don't miss that, especially now that the prosecution has rested. We will see where this continues to go. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of it. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.